Life in China is full of interesting and unforgettable experiences, and many expats, or Laowai as they are known here, love to talk about their unique adventures in the Middle Kingdom, their jobs.
For a guy with a business background, let me say something controversial. I'm not a big fan of business books, actually.
Their culinary preferences.
It's terrible, but it is. It's gongbao jiding.
And their favourite aspects of living in China.
I didn't really know about Mauritius before I came here. Now I have a lot of friends from Mauritius. Not only them, but like other people from all over the world.
With Nila Nyakoa, next.
From a Confucius Institute scholarship to an MBA program at a leading university think tank in China, Matteo Giovannini's China story began 6 years ago in the port city of Dalian.
The real way to understand the culture is to go into places you don't like, to try food you don't like.
Before he relocated to Beijing, where he works today with one of the largest financial institutions in the world.
Since then, I'm already more than 3.5 years.
Matteo, an Italian national, is also one of the few foreigners in the Middle Kingdom working in the Chinese banking industry.
I got lucky because I found this window of opportunity open and I grabbed it.
In this episode of the program, therefore, I sit down with Matteo to talk about his experiences and aspirations in a period of time that's increasingly seeing a strengthening relationship between Italy and China along the Belt and Road route. Matteo, thank you so much for joining us today on My China Story.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right, so tell me a little bit about yourself. I do know you're from a little town in the north of Italy.
Yeah, I am from this little town in the northeast of Italy. Not that far from Verona, the city of famous for Romeo and Juliet, and also not far from Venice. I spent there most of my... I grew up there until I graduated there in the local Gaokao, and then I moved to Milan, where I study economics, and then continue my... I started my professional experience in Milan, in the media industry, actually, even if I was a financial controller. I spent there about, let's say, 7 years of work experience. And then I started to have this idea to make my career more international. And I said, why not going to the east of the world? Because most of my friends used to stay in the west, either go to US or UK for postgraduate degrees. And I want to do something different. And I saw the new generations, for example, of Chinese and Indians, they have this perspective of the East. And then usually they move to study in the UK or in US. So at the end of the day, they have this global perspective of the world. They know East and West. I think a weakness of Western people is actually that we just stay in the West. We tend not to go in the East. And then we end up in a very powerful position in companies or in politics, and people actually, they don't know how it works this side of the world, and they make decisions that affect everyone. So I think I wanted to be more like Chinese and Indians, to have a global perspective. And I was lucky because I came here through a Confucius Institute scholarship because I started to study Chinese in the local Confucius Institute in Milan. I was assigned a scholarship for one academic year. So I spent 1 year in Dalian at the Liaoning Normal University. I really liked the experience. I had the chance to learn more about language and culture. And then at that point, I had to take a decision, either to go back to my own country, where I took one year off from my work so I could potentially continue to work in the same position where I was before, or decided to quit my job, as I did, and stay in this side of the world. So I decided to move from Dalian. I came to Beijing in 2014, and I applied for an MBA program at the Peking University, at the National School of Development. And it was an incredible experience to learn more about how is the business environment here, how you can do business in here, which is totally different from the West. And then through their career department, I got the chance to get into one of the major financial companies, government companies in here. And since then, I'm already more than 3.5 years working for this company.
So tell me, what are some of the biggest or the most beautiful things you've learned about living in China, and especially because you have lived in Dalian and now Beijing?
Yeah, it's actually total different kind of life. Dalian at that time was 2013, was still actually developing. At that time, Dalian had no subway line. I heard from friends now they have 2 or 3 lines already built, in a few years. So at that time was a very not very international. It was very difficult to find a Western restaurant. So it really was a culture shock when I arrived, because I had to switch totally my habits to start to immediately to eat local food and not many foreigners. So I had to start to go deep into the culture. It was compared to Beijing instead is very international. It's very easy to adapt. It's quite easy. Mm-hmm. So I think the experience in Dalian was really worthwhile for the next step. So when I arrived in Beijing, was very easy to adapt.
Right, as an Italian person, you guys are very particular when it comes to your morning espresso. That must have been really, really hard for you when you were in Dalian. So how did you change that habit, and to what for breakfast?
I changed into tea, because it's typical for even when I was in the West, in Italy, I used to drink both a coffee and tea, so it was not that difficult to adapt. I actually learned much more different types of tea, because in my country, we usually go to the supermarket and buy this tea bags. There's no much choice in terms of flavor, and here there is an incredible wide of a range of flavors that you can pick. So I could switch quite easily, I guess.
So how often do you go back home to Italy?
Usually once a year. Mm-hmm. It depends. Usually in correspondence of holidays in here in China, so I can have more time to spend with my family. Usually I go back in the national holiday in October. And last year, for the first time in the last 6 years in China, I went back also for Christmas.
So you've managed to get yourself out of that Western bubble. When you go back, is it a culture shock as well?
I don't think so. I'm quite flexible. I actually easily adapt to both kind of culture for one reason, because I have, let's say, two families. I have my Italian family and I have my Chinese family, because I actually got married with a Chinese citizen. So I have this opportunity to merge the two cultures. And also my wife is very, let's say, international mindset. So I got used to the local culture through her. So it was quite easy to adapt.
Quite a smooth life you had there, because so many people really struggle to just transition from what they've grown up knowing into adapting to a new culture, and especially the Chinese culture. And for you, it sounds like it's been smooth sailing all the way.
Yes, I think so. I actually met my wife along the way. The first stage of my experience in China, I was here alone, so I got the same kind of culture shock as every other foreigners experienced. But since I was in Dalian, as I said, there were not many foreigners, so I had immediately to adapt to the local people. And even here, because I wanted to learn more about culture and language, I tried to avoid any other Italians, the local Italian community here in Beijing.
Right.
Yeah. So and then later on, I started to merge the two things. So I started to get in touch with the local Italians and also keep in touch with the local people.
And talking about merging cultures, you're very much into the Belt and Road. You are one of those people who you're really excited about, especially Italy recently joined this group of nations that are part of this bloc. So tell me about that.
Yeah, it's an extremely exciting time now for Belt and Road. We just ended the second Belt and Road Forum here in Beijing. It was an incredible success. A lot of leaders of the different nations joined, and also our prime minister came here. And recently, a delegation of China went to Europe, visiting Italy, Monaco, and France, and especially when they stop in Italy, our two countries sign a memorandum of understanding. So Italy officially became the first G7 country to support the Belt and Road Initiative. And it's very important, I think, for my country, because our economy is like kind of slowing down, and we don't have a lot of margin of growth in the West. So we need especially to create a new relationship with new markets, and China is a huge market. And also historically, we have a kind of good relationship with China since the ancient time. We had a lot of travelers who came here for different purposes, Marco Polo, Matteo Ricci, and if you think about the ancient Silk Road, the starting point was in China, the ending point was in Venice, and we tried to build again this ancient Belt and Road into a new one, maritime and let's say terrestrial one.
And as an Italian person living in China, how do you think this is going to perhaps maybe help, especially people-to-people relationship?
I think it could help because part of this memorandum of understanding, for example, they sign a different kind of partnership, for example, for exchange of culture programs, academic programs. They recognize if you graduate in China, if you graduate in Italy, the diploma you get is mutually recognized between mm-hmm. the two countries. So it can favorite a lot of exchange of students. So students can come here, or students here, they can go there to Italy. And so they can have a better understanding each other. And this could be good for potential the new generation when these students will be the new leaders in the future. It will increase our wellness, I guess. It's like
right. Yeah. And now you are one of the only few expats who work in the banking sector here in China. How does it feel working for one of the biggest banks in the country?
Yeah, I think.
And how did? And first of all, how did you even get that job?
So yeah, first of all, if you mean in the banking industry. At large, and consider everything, mm-hmm. there are several foreigners working in the banking industry.
Oh, are
but
there?
Most mm-hmm. of them, they work for foreign entities, for foreign mm-hmm. banks mm-hmm. that are based in China. Mm-hmm. My case is different because I work for a Chinese government bank, so it's totally different case. In this case, yes, I'm just one of the few. I know through my Italian embassy, I'm the only Italian working for a financial government financial in the financial industry. Led by the Chinese government in China. And I got there, I was quite lucky because I got there through the, as I said before, through the MBA program that I attended here at Peking University. They had at that time, they have a good relationship with this all these SOE companies. And at that time I was lucky because this company, my company, was looking to recruit a certain number of foreigners to improve their international exposure in the West. And so I got lucky because I found this window of opportunity open and I grabbed it. And I got lucky because considering other classmates in my MBA program, they had no such a good chance.
Coming up.
Here you feel like you are in the future. Everything is so technological. In my country, you feel like you are in ancient Venice and ancient Florence.
That and more when we return.
Everything in focus, all in one place. China Plus focuses on the Middle Kingdom, bringing you breaking news and stories that matter to you from both inside and outside the country.
Search the App Store or Google Play for China Plus.
She's curious.
How cool is that?
So she asks the questions.
When, why, I mean, how do you find time to do all this stuff?
Do you think that strategy of employing predominantly women is the one that has led to your brand being very successful?
A lot of people are not happy that you say you're a black Chinese.
Do you feel like you're a celebrity?
But to whom? Each week, join Nila Nyakoa as she brings you a series of in-depth conversations with foreign nationals living in China. Tune in to hear their experiences of expat life in China. The good?
Take your time to watch down, you'll see your nose.
The bad?
I had my new passport, my new visa, all my money in the jacket, and I lost it.
And the downright weird?
Black brother who fall in love on the Chinese girls, you have to know first which province in China she came from.
Right here on My China Story.
Now, again, when it comes to banking in China, many foreigners, at least those that I know, have problems understanding, like, especially when it comes to procedures and paperwork. There's a lot of paperwork involved. So many people say that just to go to the bank, you need to sort of take half a day off just to go and do a simple procedure. So what kind of, what do you think we're missing here as foreigners?
I think the banking industry by definition is very bureaucratic. It's very, very paper. There's a lot of paperwork, not just here, even in the West. Even in my country, you have to spend a half day, queue a lot to go to a teller and talk to this person, and maybe they even don't solve your problem. So it's quite similar. I think it can be solved maybe in future, because as you know, banking industry is changing a lot now through fintech, mm-hmm. and China is in the leadership position in this. And I think most of the job that now requires you to go physically to a branch and do paperwork, one day you could just manage through an app or through an AI artificial intelligence system. So it will change. It will change a lot. But actually, it's still very, very, very traditional. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the industry that is changing the most right now, because mm-hmm. it remains for decades so traditional. So many industries change through technology, while banking is still the same as you can find decades ago. But now everything is changing so fast. And China, you can see from payments. I go back to my country, I always have to carry cash for everything. Here, I never carry my wallet. I just pay by phone. And every transaction is immediately recorded on your bank account immediately when you pay. In Italy, for example, my country, as an example, you make a transaction, you see the effective transaction 2 or 3 days after on your bank account.
Really? Yes. So if someone stole your bank card and went, you know, on a shopping spree, you'll never know until days later.
Yes, maybe you receive a notification, but effectively is recording on your bank account. I think it's mainly for a kind of security. They have to make some clearance, some check.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so cannot be immediately.
So living in China, you and I mean, we're used to this system where nobody carries cash anymore. In fact, it's almost like strange to see somebody with a stash of cash. And when you got to Europe, many Europeans are not really into using cards per se. They trust, you know, the crispy note. They trust to have money with them. Do you find that a bit strange when you go back? Or had to
readapt? I feel a bit strange, because here you feel like you are in the future. You have a device, you do everything with the device, like mm-hmm. you feel like in a movie in the future. Everything is so technological. In my country, you feel like you are in the ancient, you can be in ancient Venice and ancient Florence, where they used to do some trade, exchanging coins. And so you really feel like in another period of time. And I think in future, they will probably catch up. Still in major cities like Milan, since we have a lot of Chinese tourists come over for shopping, a lot of shops, they provide the payment through Alipay. Still no WeChat, Weixin, but for Alipay, they already have an agreement with Alibaba. So the major shopping brands for fashion, like fashion brands, they already provide this kind of service. So it's just to let Chinese people be comfortable at making payment.
So you talk a lot to your family and friends about your life in China, which must be very fascinating to them. Have they managed to come and visit?
Until now, no. My parents came over to visit in. They came to Asia different times for holiday, but they just ended up in some resorts or some islands. So they went like to Philippines, Thailand, but they never been here. I told them they should come over to see at least where I live, mm-hmm. where I've been living in the last 6 years, and they promised me they will they will come over when they find some time, because they are still working. I hope they will have the chance to see. I can take them around and see how many like beautiful things, historical things there are here in a city like Beijing.
Have you traveled a lot?
In China, I traveled major cities, and also I travel let's say Beijing, Tianjin, Shanghai. I still missing all the south of China. I've been in the inner part of China. I've been to Xi'an. I've been to the Shaolin Temple. I've been to different other provinces in the inner part of the country, but I never had the chance to go to the south, which is actually quite beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree with you on that. Now, you mentioned Tianjin, which caught my ears, and it just reminded me when I was there, I think it was last spring, and I came across this little nice place within the city called Little Italy that's designed to look like Venice. And to be honest, it actually reminded me of Venice when I visited a few years ago. Did you go there to see, and how did you feel about that?
Yeah, I've been there, and it's quite strange to see. it looks like in a sort of way it looks familiar,
yeah.
But in the other way it looks different, because you see some kind of architecture which is similar to the one you are familiar with, but you look around, you don't see local people, you see other buildings that are not actually matching with this kind of context. So it's quite strange, yes.
Yeah. So what is your future? Like, where do you see yourself? I mean, of course, you're married to a local person and you obviously love China very much. Do you see yourself living here for a really long time, or do you have any plans to live at some point and go back to Italy?
At this moment of time, in this period of time, I don't have a real plan for the future. So I see myself still here, because I think if I really want to learn about China more in terms of improving my language skills, culture understanding, corporate culture understanding, and also family understanding, I need to stay here more time. I think 6 years is not enough. Sometimes I think it's quite funny to see some Italian people. They come over here for maybe for one semester, and then they go back to Italy and they sell themselves as a China expert. And so it's quite funny. But I think maybe in the long term, I see myself back to Italy, because I think from my perspective as a professional, I think I could be a bridge between the two cultures. After being here for a certain number of years, I can have a general understanding of the country, of the culture, of the business, and I can be a bridge to help my people to have a better understanding of how life is here, how it's to do business with local people here.
Mm-hmm. So if there's a young Italian person listening to you right now and probably admiring you and the life you've managed to build here, what would be your advice if they wanted to come to China and experience what you have experienced firsthand?
I would say they should be open-minded, flexible, because here is... At first, is really a culture shock. It's totally different. So many people, you have to manage to get stuck into the traffic if you drive a car, or public transportation is super crowded. But the real way to understand the culture is to go into places you don't like, to try food you don't like, to go deep into the culture. And then at the end, you're going to start to like it and to love it. And then sometimes even things you don't like, you're going to start even to appreciate your own things. So you can have a comparison. And I think the best way to come over here is through, as I did, through a program like I did, if you get a scholarship, and try to start with step one, learn the language and understand the culture. And then if you have the opportunity, stay here and have a job opportunity here and stay here and get also an exposure to the business here.
So how would you describe China as a country in a nutshell from what you've seen and experienced so far?
I think it's an amazing country. It's so dynamic. Everything changed so fast. And I think it takes probably a lifetime for a foreigner to really understand and to really get a fluency in the language also. Everything changed so fast, so if you stay here for a long time and maybe you go back after 1 year, everything is changed, so you cannot be even an expert, as I said.
Yeah, so you constantly have to be within the process of change to understand it even better.
Yeah, you have to be flexible, as I said. You cannot stay stuck into something. You really have to have an open mindset.
Right. Matteo, thank you again so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you very much.
And that's it from this week's edition of My China Story. Tune in again next week, same time, as I talk to yet another expatriate about their work, life and experiences here in China. If you've got any questions, comments or suggestions, be sure to follow us on our Facebook page, China Plus, or download our China Plus app from your local app stores and leave your comments. Until then, it's goodbye for now.